Well, he's got two really good chances, but he's actually got four runners in the cup. It's quite a domination for Michael. He's actually won this race on three occasions, so we look forward to seeing whether he can do it again later on this afternoon. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, gents. Good morning, listeners.
Yeah, mate, you're a local, really, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I spent a lot of time up here. I moved up here when I left school and trained and sold real estate up here, and I'd like to still consider myself a local visitor anyway.
Yeah. How important is the Darwin Cup, mate? I mentioned that you've won it on three occasions. I think you were the youngest person to ever win the Darwin Cup as a trainer and now the most successful trainer of the Darwin Cup. How important is it to you?
Look, some people would call it an unhealthy obsession. It revolves pretty much well around my business plan. Part of my business is selling horses to Asia. So this time of the year, it's, you know, winter at home, and we don't trial many horses and sell them off winter trials. So it's a really great time to escape the winter for myself and the horses. And my wife and I come up here every year, and it works out really well. But the biggest part of it is that, Brett Dixon, Keith Stacey and the whole crew at the Darwin Turf Club and Thoroughbred Racing NT are so welcoming and make it such a great carnival. It's difficult not to come back.
No, you're right there. They make everyone feel very comfortable being up here in Darwin. But you must have seen this carnival grow then as well, Michael, over time.
Yeah, so look, the first carnival I came to was 2006, and I was 17 then, and Dad was training, and we were lucky enough to win the Derby with a horse called Bad Boy. And from then to now, the growth in the Darwin Carnival would have far exceeded most other carnivals around the world, I'd say, per capita, of course. It's a fantastic carnival. Probably credit doesn't get given enough for the quality of horses that come up here. You know, like a lot of the horses that come up here, they'll go straight back down to southern states and win Saturday metropolitan races. Two or three of mine did that last year. And it's a fantastic carnival. And, wasn't that long ago that they've just launched a $12 million project here, building a new grandstand. Which is headed by Brett Dixon and his team to get that off the ground. It's a function centre and a grandstand. So, look, per capita, Darwin holds its own and they do a fantastic job.
Now, you've got four runners in the Darwin Cup. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on each horse?
Yeah, well, look, unfortunately, at this stage, I don't think Adado's going to get a run. I thought he was one of the better lightweight chances. His run the other day was fantastic when he ran second to leader. Obviously, leaders coming in off the back of the placing in the race the last 2 years. His win the other day in the Buntine was dominant. He's got a very, very good 2,000-metre record. He loves his track, and he looks the real obvious one on paper. The horse that Richard Pegum sent me from Sydney, a horse called Zebek, he's a quality horse. He got to me a bit late, and he's only had time to have one run up here, which was good. He was quite lacking in fitness that day, and loomed up on the corner and peaked late. I think he's a smoky. He's going to lob just behind the leaders there. And I think, I was told last night he was 30-1 or something ridiculous like that. Jeez. Second up last time in Brisbane, he ran third in a listed race. So you'd think that'd see him pretty competitive here if he gets the right type of run.
Yep.
And the other horse we've got going there today is Reby the Red. Look, Reby's a bit of an outsider, and he's coming off that second-tier type of metropolitan form in Brisbane, but the horse is qualified for the race. He had no luck the other day, and Mr. Mumford and Timmy Taylor, the owners, were really keen to run him, so he's certainly not going to win at home in his stable.
Yeah, which is fantastic, mate. And obviously this Darwin Cup, it's the quality of the horses gets better and better and better, but what this surface, can you describe for our listeners and our viewers, Michael, the surface? It used to be sump oil, now it's vegetable oil, a lot more environmentally friendly, but what sort of horse goes well on this sort of dirt track?
Look, I've had 100 people ask me that over the years, probably more, but when you work your horses here, they'll all work good on the dirt. It's not a surface where people say, oh, your horse doesn't work well on it, or it doesn't handle this or it doesn't handle that. There's really only two factors that horses won't handle here. One of them is the kickback, which you can't teach them. And the secondary thing would be the tempo of the racing. Obviously, they race in very Americanized style up here. It's straight on the bunny, run along. quite often their first section will be quicker than their last. Not even quite often, 99% of the time. Look, the actual surface itself, I've got no dramas with it. It's very easy to keep horses sound on it. It's conducive to getting them fit, and doing it in a very easy manner. It's from a surfaces point of view, it's quite enjoyable to train on. If we had it down south as a training track, not a racing track, you wouldn't complain about it at all.
Yep.
Just the two things, as with American racing, the two things that some horses don't handle are the kickback or the tempo.
Okay.
And is there another horse that you've got today, Michael, that you can give our listeners a bit of a steer some way?
Yeah, look, last year, I think it was, I declared you that Arrow Lane, and he won, I think it was last year.
Yep.
I've got a bit of a lighter team outside the Cup this year. I've got a really nice filly in the 1900 metre race called General Factor. She ran third in the Derby.
Yep.
You know, even today, but the next 6 months, she's going to be a really nice horse for your listeners to follow. She ran third in the Derby the other day behind a couple of pretty handy ones. It was only a fifth race start. Have a look at her today. She might go around slightly under the odds today. But, you know, your listeners would want to be following her in 6 months. She's going to be a really nice filly in 6 months.
Yep.
And there's a horse that's going to back up from Wednesday that will run on a much improved race called JFK. He's going to go around probably double figure odds. And if you played him one by two the place, you'd be looking at him pretty comfortably.
Michael, always terrific to chat. You've won the three Darwin Cups, so we hope you can make it four this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, gentlemen.
There he goes, Michael Hickmont, a real pro.
Yeah, very impressive.
As I mentioned, the youngest trainer, I think from memory, to win the Darwin Cup, and he's won it on three occasions. He mentioned it's unhealthy obsession, really, winning the Darwin Cup. But those other two horses he's talking about, General Factor and also JFK, and just quickly, he's got the favourite. So Leader, which he puts on top as far as the Darwin Cup is concerned, a $2.30 chance. And then the one he said, which he believes is over the odds, is Zebek.
30-1.
$31, yeah.
Jeez.
30-1. So just mark them down if you're going to have a little bit of a play as we broadcast from the Darwin Cup. It's going to be a fantastic afternoon.